Welcome to Growing Pains, a business podcast for entrepreneurs and their teams who find themselves in the growth phase or messy middle in between startup and aiming for six or seven figures and beyond. I'm your host, Laurie Sterling, a COO, coach and mentor. I both do what I teach and teach what I do with a passion for empathetic team leadership, business operations and all things entrepreneurship.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today, we have a special guest, Kelly Wilson, joining me. She is the head of Baby Sensory franchise in Adelaide, South Australia, for over 8 years now, finding a steep learning curve in the business and finances side of things. Now, she's managing a number of sub-franchises and has grown her business to multiple six figures and counting. So, welcome, Kelly. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Now, I think I've known you for 5 or maybe even 6 years now. I think you've been one of my longest serving clients.
Oh. That's nice to know. Yeah, it definitely has been a while, but it doesn't actually feel that long, does it?
That's true. Because I know we were definitely working together when I was still in Australia. And when I moved my family over to the UK, you kept working with me even through that time. So I've been here in the UK for 4 years now. So that's crazy how much time that has flown so quickly. So
yeah, absolutely.
Tell me a bit about Baby Sensory. What is it? And
so Baby Sensory is a early learning development program for babies under one. It's all about sensory input, which is one of the most valuable tools that we have for brain development. And that's what we do in classes. We're concentrating on brain development and laying down the foundations for all of the future learning that our babies and toddlers are going to be doing. So Baby Sensory isn't about rushing our babies through to their milestones and getting them to do things quicker than other children. You know, they all blossom in their own time. And we don't concentrate on that, but it's more about getting the strong foundation, forming those neural pathways, those neural connections, so that by the time they do get to kindy in school, they're going to find that learning much, much easier because the brain is organized and sorted and ready for even more input of learning information. So they're beautiful classes, different every single week, such high quality resources that we have available in class, set to beautiful music, and most importantly, passionate class leaders that bring the classes to life, really. I think, you know, the secret is in the people, right? So, you know, we like to think that we bring the wow to all of these parents and babies.
I love it. That sounds like the cutest business idea I've ever had.
Yeah, it's pretty rewarding. It's very fun. And most of the time, it doesn't feel like work, but it's much more than, of course, just playing with babies. You know, like any business, there is so much that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't realize. And for it to be a scalable business in the way that it has been, you know, the model works, the program works, and it's the behind the scenes stuff and the effort that we put into all of that that makes it work on this larger scale.
Yeah, I love it. So what made you start in this business? Like, how did you join? How did you find out about it? What was the beginning?
So I was living in the UK for 8 years and I had my first baby over in the UK, and my husband is from England. So all of his family was there, but none of mine was. And I was working in a corporate sales tender management role beforehand, which I very quickly realized there was, for me personally, there was no way I could go back to that role and be the type of mom that I wanted to be. Or I just could not do both and do both well. So something had to give. And I actually ended up taking Joshua to Baby Sensory classes in the UK because that's where they originated. They were founded in the UK by Dr. Lynn Day. And I just fell in love with the classes. I was a registered nurse straight out of high school and university. And I did that because I always wanted to become a midwife. However, patience is not one of my virtues. So I did my 3-year bachelor degree and was in such a hurry to get out into the workforce that I never extended my education and went on to become a midwife, didn't do it. I was in too much of a rush. So I feel like babies have always been my calling and my true passion. So when I inquired about these Baby Sensory classes, found out it was a franchise, did my little homework as to where the locations were. They were already running in Australia, but not in Adelaide. So I just took the steps, made the inquiries, received a redundancy from my corporate job, which was perfect. And now here I am. So yeah, we started classes 8 years ago. Joshua was 18 months when we moved back to Adelaide, and I had already done my training and my business planning and got a lot of things happening in the UK before I actually physically moved back here, so that when we did move back, we could just hit the ground running with classes. And, you know, we started with 20 babies in a class, and now we have, well, over 500 babies just in my territories alone across the whole of Adelaide. You know, that's double that across Adelaide. So, yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back to what stage was your business at when we first started working together? Do you remember?
Well, I definitely wasn't paying myself. I think maybe I would take a little bit of pocket money here or there. Business was not in a profit. It was, yeah, a bit stressful to think, am I going to have enough money this quarter to cover all my bills? Mm-hmm. I didn't have the same amount of expenses as what I do now, of course, but every business has got overheads and expenses, and I was just learning the ropes. So I was just remember thinking, am I going in the right direction? Am I using my money wisely? Am I on the right track? You know, I always remember thinking, if my business doesn't get through the first 3 to 5 years, you know, I need to allow that time for it to grow. But I know that majority of businesses will fail in the first 3 to 5 years. There's probably a more recent stat that you know more than me, but I just had that in my head. So I thought, I am taking this seriously. I did not have a 9-to-5 job. Baby Sensory was my job from the offset. So I really wanted to make it work. And numbers is not my strong point. So yeah, I connected with you and you just helped me ever since and bring the calm back to my numbers game.
Yeah. And if I remember, like, you always knew the potential that was in the business, but you just couldn't get the numbers to match like the potential. And I think that's what we had to go and see, like, what was the necessity basics that we needed, like the overheads of the business, and then what were we spending the money on that perhaps wasn't needed at that point of the business yet.
Yeah, that's right. Just that planning and that timing of everything and being sensible, but understanding, you know, for the first, 3 to 5 years, any money or profit that I made in the business was instantly reinvested into expanding, whether that was expanding territory-wise or equipment-wise or staffing-wise. It was all just instantly reinvested back in to achieve that growth. And I think if I hadn't have done that in the first 3 to 5 years, you know, you need to spend money to make money, but still in a sensible way. And you were so helpful in steering and guiding that process, I think, for sure.
Yeah, because we made it that, yes, we were reinvesting back into the business, but you could also pay yourself as well, which is to make a business longevity is to actually get paid from that business as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, definitely. And now I'm just a name on the payroll. I don't even think about it. I'm just that girl on the payroll as well, and just do the transfer and it's done. So it's automatic. And yeah, it took a while to get there, but that's how it should be for sustainability in your business, to keep doing what you love.
Absolutely. So how many team members do you have now?
So I've got 5 girls actively working for me at the moment. One is on maternity leave due to come back shortly, and another one has got an extended year off to travel Australia, who will hopefully be coming back to me. So 7 altogether, and then a couple of sub-franchisees as well around Adelaide and Tasmania too.
Ah, okay. And so how many hours do you work per week? Are you full-time in your business?
No. So actively in class working, I do 2 half days a week where I am physically present on the floor, so to speak, doing those classes, interacting with parents and babies. And then the rest of the week, I kind of make up as I go along. I haven't got a lot of structure in my hours yet, but it suits me. I like knowing that I can check my emails randomly through the day, deal with urgent things as they come in, or, you know, stockpile them up for later when I've got more time. The admin just fits in around my life and my day-to-day things. And then I go out and I visit my team as well. So I do need to allow time to go and support all these people, because that's another thing, you know, to retain these amazing people that are so good, I want to have that time to support them and make sure that they're going okay. And if I can help, that's my job now, is to mentor them as well as run the business. So looking after those staff is a job in itself. But I remember one of the directors of Baby Sensory in Australia said to me, "What does your perfect day look like?" And I thought about it and I thought, okay, well, I've always wanted to make sure that I can do the school drop-offs and pick-ups. So do the drop-off, then I want to go to the gym, then meet a friend for a brunch, then do an hour's walk along the beach with that friend, then come home, do some admin work, then go pick the kids up. So I thought, that's my perfect day. So how can I get my business to run successfully with me having that ideal day? Which, you know, in the real world, that's not going to be every day. Totally get that. But if I can have 3 days a week where my time is my own to structure, then I think that's pretty amazing.
Oh, love it. And so looking at the numbers, where is your business growth now?
So where is it, or what are the numbers looking like?
Yeah, what are the numbers?
So the last financial year, we hit just over 500 grand for the year, which was amazing because, you know, now I can kind of officially say, well, our revenue is $500,000. So that's kind of nice. But I was just looking tonight, and only the year before, our annual revenue was 380. So I would never have thought that in a year it would have jumped up by so much. And now I'd love to hit 600 and then 700 and then, you know, get to the next stage. But I'm pretty happy where the business is right now. It's manageable. Yes, it's grown, but how big do I want it to get? And then not have my life work balance working for me where it's stressing me out too much.
Absolutely.
At the moment, it feels quite nice. It might change again. I don't know. But we've got such a good reputation, and word of mouth, social media has helped us so much, and being able to expand. Adelaide's small, so there's not a huge amount of expansion to do in terms of locations. But we do know that there's 20,000 babies born in South Australia every single year. And it's probably higher than that, because that was the statistic that I looked at when I first bought into the business 8 years ago. So I'm pretty sure that there's more than 20,000 babies being born now around South Australia.
Yeah,
the lockdown babies. And in Adelaide, you know, we've got about 1,000 of those babies coming to us every year. So like, where are the other 19,000 babies every year? You know, we're not going to get 100%, totally get that. But there's still a lot more to have. But again, there's only so many hours in a day. There's only so much equipment we can transport and store. There's only so many good staff out there that I can find. And that's a problem that a lot of businesses, I think, are facing after COVID. Finding good, reliable people that have that strong work ethic, that have loyalty. So those are all the other challenges in growing more. But it's exciting, you know, to see each year. And now my revenue is great and I don't worry each quarter, but I still love the reassurance that I have after a session with you, where I know exactly where my figures are, to know that I'm not going to waste money. All my money has a purpose for that quarter. And I still have, you know, a bit of splurging that I can do, and it's going to be okay. But it's nice to know there's a lot more direction and structure still there, because you know what it's like. You get a pay rise. Well, that easily just absorbs into your household spending money unless you allocate it to go somewhere.
That's it. So what do you think has been the catalyst for that growth that's happened in your business?
Well, I've been able to expand within Adelaide by purchasing other territories. So we have 6 territories in Adelaide, and I started one, other women in the business started the other franchisees. But as they left COVID, we had a little bit of a turnover in our sub-franchisee team, health reasons, COVID reasons, change of scenery reasons, life reasons, you know. So I was able to then purchase one of those territories, which, you know, is in an amazing location near our city centre. And that gave my business a big boost. Previous to that, I bought another territory. One of the ladies was moving to Melbourne and subsequently set up or bought a baby sensory territory in Melbourne and is still there now, doing absolutely amazing, Alison over in Melbourne. So I bought her territory first, and that was a little stepping stone into thinking, can I expand? And that worked. And then the next opportunity came up to buy the next territory, which was bigger and larger. And it didn't seem that scary to then to purchase that one as well. So
yeah,
that's really helped.
I remember like at that time, there was actually a fair bit of risk of like, we really had to crunch the numbers and say, okay, what is the risk analysis of buying this property and how long was it going to take to pay off the loan? Because there was a loan to that franchise and things like that. So yeah, it was always being able to run the numbers and see what the risk was versus just staying where we are. But you knew you weren't happy just staying small. You wanted to keep growing.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I hadn't had to take out a business loan ever to start Baby Sensory or so going to the bank to get this loan to buy this established territory was definitely new territory for me to explore. But it was just so funny trying to explain to the bank guys what Baby Sensory is and what we do. And they were just like looking at the numbers from the previous owners, and you could just see them going like, I don't get this. yeah. Like, I don't understand really what you do, but that this business makes money. Yep. Okay. And we paid that off within 2 years, which was amazing. And we're just kind of in a really nice stable spot now, which is good. But yeah, the years go quick. So before you know it, like another year is going to have gone, and you need to keep thinking, what direction am I going in? What goals do I want for the business next? So yeah, it keeps it exciting.
Yeah, so you don't have like a COO specifically for your business, but I do know, I mean, you've had me helping you with the finance side of things, but what about like you've got someone sort of second in charge on the ground there, right, that you've trained to help do part of your role?
Yeah, that's right. So I do have, some mobile locations where the girls will pack their cars, go out to these community halls, run classes for the day, pack up again, you know, and drop the equipment back off. But I do have 2 permanent venues, which are our leased buildings. And in those buildings, I have our centre managers, and they are in charge of the day-to-day operations in those buildings where, you know, I can't be in all these places at once. So they're there to be the touch point for the parents to make sure that they're happy, to see how we can improve, to get to know our families well. Because one of the things that I think has helped us be so successful is building relationships with those people and getting to know them. And we have, you know, first babies come through, then a sibling is born, and the second babies come back to us. And sometimes we've even had 3rd and 4th babies from the same family, you know, then also be brought to Baby Sensory, which is probably the biggest compliment that we could ever have, that it's so important to these parents that they bring back the next babies that they have as well, even though the juggle gets so much harder. But yeah, those girls are really like the eyes and the ears on the ground to report back if we need to urgently sort something out, or you know, I trust them that they're looking after the day-to-day stuff, and they do, and they're amazing. So without them, I wouldn't have been able to grow either, because there's only one of me. So yeah, having those people, really important. And then, yeah, you obviously behind the scenes, really good accountant who was helping me, and outsourcing those areas where it's not my strong point, and being able to understand, well, I can't do it all, and where are the parts that I need more support, and being prepared to pay those fees for that advice, because in the long run, it's going to help you grow.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to an entrepreneur, let's say someone who wants to start up another sensory business? What would you recommend to them?
Yeah, definitely making sure that you have a good accountant who is accessible. I've been through a couple of accountants earlier on. The first one was extortionate prices. And I thought, I'm just a little small one-person business right now, and these fees are not reflecting that. So I had to kind of quickly move. Went to another one who was okay, like not too bad. Moved to another one who actually picked up an error from the previous accountant, which actually got us about 10 grand back in our pockets from something that the previous accountant hadn't picked up. But she was not accessible. I had to book in an appointment on her calendar to speak, and I found the relationship wasn't really being built. I was still in the early stages of my business, and I felt that the conversations were a bit patronizing, or yeah, just wasn't really feeling it. So then, funny story, the guy who was my accountant at the really expensive firm in the first place actually branched out on his own, and I ran into him at the pub on one of the horse racing, Melbourne Cup it must have been, and I had a chat. His baby was coming to Baby Sensory, unbeknownst to me, and we had a chat, and he said, oh, by the way, I've gone out on my own. Here's my card. So I probably sat on it for 6 months, and then I got back in touch with him. And then, yeah, he's been my accountant probably for the last good 5 years, I guess, built up a really good relationship, helped me understand. And I love being able to know that I can pick up my phone and ring him. Yeah. Just like a normal person, and say, hey, have you got 2 seconds? I just want to ask you a really quick question. And I don't do that all the time by any means, but just that human element and that relationship, I was able to build a relationship. And then, so yes, my advice is get a really good accountant that you're happy with, that you can build a proper relationship with, and then obviously learn the profit first model to make sure your business is going to be sustainable in the long run, because you will get into all sorts of trouble. You'll owe money, until eventually you shut the doors, and no one wants to do that when they start a business. So
that's right. We're in this for the long game.
Yeah.
All right. So what has been the hardest part about growing your business?
Probably the staffing side of it, and finding people to work with that have the same vision as you. And it's like having a kid. You know, no one loves your baby as much as you, even though you have this network around you that love your baby, of course, but they don't love them in the same way that you do, because you're the mom or the dad. Yeah. So I feel like a business is a bit the same. When you are the owner of that business, that is another baby for you that you have put so much hard work and effort and belief into. So you want to find people that can nurture that with you. And when you find those people that have the true passion for it and have all the other good stuff as well, like they're easy to get along with, they're responsive, they're reliable, they have good work ethic. Like, it's a very big combination that you're looking for. And I'm getting older, so the people that are coming up are not from the same generation as me. So that's another complexity that you notice. We're all brought up differently between the eras. So that's probably the biggest challenge, yeah. And managing people is another journey in itself. And it's, no one's perfect. No one gets it right all the time, but you try your best, and you just hope that majority of people have got, I don't know, that sensible outlook where they want to resolve issues and you know, life's too short to be miserable when you're coming to work, isn't it? So you want that happy, healthy, positive outlook.
Yeah. Yeah. So what has been the highlight of growing your business?
Well, the highlight has definitely been able to have that free time, that freedom. And I don't answer to anyone. I can go on holiday whenever I want. I mean, look, I still need to organize things for that to happen, but I can make it happen without gaining permission from anyone. And that freedom to structure my days, the freedom to do all the pickups, the drop-offs. I don't work school holidays, which is amazing for the kids. So yeah, I think it just comes down to that one word, freedom.
Love it. So what is next for you? What are your dreams and goals and visions for your business?
Well, yeah, it's hard. Like, there's a few different ideas. I could keep expanding my territories in Adelaide if that ever came up. We don't know what the territories in Adelaide are going to look like in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years. So that's always a possibility. As the population grows in Adelaide, it will be opening more locations, expanding that way. But another idea is to look at commercial property, because we do rent properties. And is that an area where we can buy our own properties to run our classes from, instead of, you know, paying a landlord, where we're renting off of ourselves? So that at the moment seems a bit scary and a bit of a big dream up there. But yeah, it's one that I am thinking about a lot more now.
Oh, that's great. So how can people follow you in your journey and your expansion and growth?
You know, good old social media. It's baby, our baby sensory classes are so visual. So it makes for amazing content on the socials, beautiful videos and photos and cute babies. So we are Baby Sensory and Toddler Sense South Australia on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, so that's the best way.
Well, I'll definitely include those links on the show notes for you. And thank you to everyone for listening. And thank you, Kelly, for joining me today. And if you're somebody out there who would like to improve your financial systems and cash flow, and that's an area you would like to improve in your business, then please reach out. It is a service I still like to offer. You can reach me at lauriesterling.com. And thanks once again, Kelly.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for all your support for all these years, because I've loved like being on this journey with you holding my hand, and it's really nice. So thank you.
Thanks. That's wonderful to hear. Yeah. But in the meantime, have a productive day.